Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love made known to us in your Son, Jesus. Lord, may these humble, imperfect words of my mouth and these sincere meditations of our heart be acceptable to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus showed us by becoming last of all and servant of all, and welcomes us to following in his kingdom. A couple of quotes I want to share with you. Does anybody else remember Lieutenant Dan, the first time we saw Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump? And he told Forrest, he said, you know, we've got two standing orders in this platoon, Gump. Take good care of your feet. Try not to do anything stupid like getting yourself killed. Take good care of your feet. Anyone who's been in the battlefield situation where you don't have a lot of changes of socks, especially in a tropical climate, you better take good care of your feet. You better take good care of your feet all the time, but especially in that situation. And as we know, the whole world is a battlefield. Richard Balcom in The Testimony wrote this: washing feet in ancient cultures was as common and necessary as brushing teeth today. But washing someone else's feet was a task reserved for the lowest slave. That's what Jesus modeled, touching the dirty feet of others, humbling himself to stoop and to wash. How many have ever participated in a feet washing service of some sort? It's pretty humbling, isn't it? I'll never forget the first time I did. And you know what? With repeated experiences, it's not become any less humbling. It breaks me down every time, both to give and to receive that act of kindness. Even though our feet are not usually all that dirty and don't need it, that act of humility, of stooping and touching and washing another's feet. I'm not sure we actually have a cultural equivalent to washing feet in our culture in this era. I've heard people speculate on that, but I'm not sure we do. However, what the apostle wrote to us in that chapter in Philippians that we just heard, let this same mind be in you. Let this mindset of servanthood be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you about a handful of examples that I've encountered through the years that struck me as some kind of a manifestation of that mind being in a person. In the 90s, we were fortunate enough at our company, music company, to sign a deal distributing that video series of Charlton Heston's, where he was in the Bible, in the Holy Land, and narrating things. And we were fortunate enough to get him to come to Orlando with us to do a signing and a meet and greet with bookstores around the country. And we had, I think it was the top 100 biggest Christian bookstores in the U.S. We did a big luncheon in one of those hotel banquet rooms, you know, the rubber chicken and peas, the whole thing. And he gave his testimony. He told his story of how he'd come to Christ. He took questions and answers. Then just, he was happy to sign anything. He had his picture made with countless people who wanted to have their picture made with Moses, you know. And at the end of the thing, everybody is hurrying on to their next deal, their next appointment, their next thing that's happening that day. And I'm noticing that Chuck, he insisted that we all call him Chuck. Charlton Heston wanted to be called Chuck by everybody. And I noticed that he wasn't leaving. He kept hanging around. He was walking around talking to people who were bussing the tables. And I kind of sidled up close to where I could eavesdrop and hear what he was saying. He was walking up of his own accord to each one of these people, probably working for minimum wage, bussing tables in a hotel banquet room, shaking their hand and saying, I just want to thank you so much for helping make our event a success today. Moses was stooping. He was letting this mind be in him that was in Christ Jesus. He had all kinds of other things, more important things to get onto. But he knew that the important thing was connecting with other people, serving them. My wife, Janet, serving just comes naturally to her. It does not to me. I'm oblivious to the needs of others. Somebody has to elbow me and say, hey, would you do this? Would you help with that? Janet notices and she serves. We had a Sudanese reconciliation conference in Nashville. We have a huge Sudanese refugee population in Nashville. And we had this great, great reconciliation conference. They're processing all this grief and rage and shame and anger. And people who've lost dear loved ones, spouses, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters. They're processing all this. And when Sunday morning comes to end this conference, there's just so much joy because of the healing that the Lord has brought. And in an Episcopal church, mind you, like this, kind of laid out sort of like this at St. Bartholomew's, a procession breaks out. The Sudanese choir is in the loft, and they've got all these handmade instruments, stringed instruments and percussion instruments. I don't even know what to call them. And they're doing a Sudanese worship song that they've translated into English, too, and it's going back and forth from Sudanese into English. And we're singing and singing, and pretty soon one of the Sudanese bishops gets up and begins dancing, and people begin ululating and making all these wild sounds, and there are about 500 or so in the building. And pretty soon, up to about 150 of us are like in this conga line, in this parade, in the middle of the offertory on a Sunday morning. Well, we had a young rector named Paul Nancaro, one of the best pastors I've ever had in my life. He was not an evangelical. He was not a charismatic. He was a very theologically very liberal process theology guy. He was standing behind the altar, and he realized that he had lost control of the service. This is what Pentecostals at camp meeting call a runaway. If you're a Pentecostal, you know what a runaway is. We were in the middle of a runaway. And the ushers were standing at the back with the offering plates, befuddled, not having any idea what to do. And the thing was just building and building, and people were dancing and shouting and ululating, and all this joy from all this healing. Janet, seated, along about over here, she notices what's going on. She was his junior warden at the time on his vestry. She notices what's going on, and natural-born servant and verger that she is, she hops up very quietly and goes back to the ushers, and she just says, hey, next time the parade looks like it's going to come down the middle aisle, you just lead the parade right up to the altar rail and stop. And they did. And pretty soon the music came to a conclusion. Everything fell silent. And the befuddled priest said, the Lord be with you. And also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. And it goes end up in the Sanctus, holy, holy, holy. And then people begin to go back to their seats. Janet acted as a servant in that moment. That mindset that was in Jesus was in her. She washed the feet. She did the equivalent of washing those ushers' feet and washing that befuddled priest's feet. Along about 1980, I first encountered Robert Greenleaf's book, Servant Leadership. It broke me down. I realized there was not a servant bone in my body. I wasn't serving as a husband. I wasn't serving as a father. I wasn't serving as an executive in our music company. I wasn't serving as an elder. I was occupying a place and doing it in a very patriarchal way. I believe that being the servant of all just meant doing the leadership thing and being nice about it. And it doesn't get it. When I read Servant Leadership, I began to get it. Begin serving, really serving. Become the last of all, the servant of all. I didn't say anything to Janet about it, but I was really trying to be a different husband, and I was begging God to help me. Some old friends of ours came to visit, Doug and Becky Neal. We've known them since high school days. After they'd been with us a couple of days, Doug or Becky one said to Janet, four of us are sitting in the family room, what's happened to you, Janet? She said, what do you mean? Well, you're just different. Well, what do you mean? Well, we've just never seen you this relaxed, and you seem so at peace and so relaxed and so happy. And she pointed at me and she said, well, he's been treating me differently. he's been treating me differently. God was breaking through. The mindset was beginning to kind of break through. I had a CEO in my company named Stan. He and I were a good team, but we were each other's nemesis. I was a thorn in his flesh just like he was a thorn in mine. We struggled and struggled and struggled. We made each other miserable. One day we were kind of the height of our misery, and there were a group of us in the company that were praying together in a hotel room. And Stan walked over to me. I was seated in a chair in this hotel room. Stan walked over to me in the middle of the prayer without saying anything. He just knelt down. I had my legs crossed, and he put one of his hands on the top of one of my feet. I knew the signal he was sending. He was alluding to the towel and the basin, and he was saying, yeah, you and I have got all kinds of struggles, but I want to serve Christ in you. I want to let this mindset be in me that was in Christ Jesus. No act was beneath the Lord Jesus. He stooped to us. May no act be beneath us as we stoop to serve Him, our families, our neighbors, our worship contexts, and His whole creation.